same time, Ray turned to me and it looked like we just kissed each other. Oh, boy. Oh, well, I'm so excited to be here. Do you guys happen to know that just across the little waterway here is the location where we film God Has a Wonderful Plan for Your Life? Do you guys happen to know that? Yeah, right there on the pier there. And so this brings back great memories. That was one of my favorite shows that we did for The Way of the Master. I, too, would like to structure a short talk around before Hell's Best Kept Secret, when I heard Hell's Best Kept Secret, and after Hell's Best Kept Secret. Basically, many of you, I think, have maybe listened to my testimony on the radio or on the internet. I became a Christian when I was about 17, 18 years old, and I had a pretty shallow understanding of sin, righteousness, judgment to come. I was an atheist previous to this, and I eventually went to church because a young girl asked me to go. I wanted to get to know her better. Went to church, listened to the pastor. He explained things to the point where it really got me thinking. And I was in my sports car one day and said, God, if you're there, please show me and reveal yourself to me. Change my heart. I don't want to be wrong about you, and I want to be the person you want me to be. I began going to church, reading the Bible, and I really did begin to change inside of me. And for years, I wanted to know what was God's will for my life. And I would read the Bible, and I got deep into apologetics, and I had all of this theological knowledge up in my head. And I thought that my job as a Christian was basically to stand my ground in Hollywood. You know, just kind of stick up for God and learn how to defend the existence of God, things like that. But I still kind of searched and wondered, but how can I put this stuff into practice, you know? I didn't really know what that would look like in my life. And then I got the part of Buck Williams and Left Behind. I started doing those movies, and as we began promoting the very first one of them, somebody handed me a tape, Mark Spence, the dean of the School of Evangelism, I don't know you online, but he walked up in a line of people, handed me a tape as I was signing autographs for Left Behind CDs, and he just looked at me and said, Mark, this is how I remember it. I remember you came up and just said, you got to listen to this. He just walked away. Very ominous like that. Who is this guy? You know, and I look at the cover, it's called Hell's Best Kept Secret. I thought, oh, that's a good title. Well, I'd like to listen to this. I'd like to find out what the devil's secret is. So, put it on a pile, and I listened to it in my car as I was driving to a church to share my testimony in the gospel, and I was so rocked by what I heard, because for years I had known there was something wrong with the gospel that I was hearing in church. This plastic gospel, this sort of hollow, sugar-coated, you'll never be happy or have peace without Jesus, and you can fill the God-shaped hole in your heart with money and fame and friends and sex and drugs and rock and roll, and none of that will work like Jesus. And I was going to give my version of that to this church, and Ray's message just devastated that and brought into this puzzle the missing piece. And I was so upset by the time I got to the church that I didn't know what to say. I mean, they had scheduled me to preach the gospel there. And all I had prepared was what I had prepared. And it was wrong. And so I was stuck. Okay, he talked about sin. It was something about the Ten Commandments. It was something about you're going to go to hell. It was something about Thursday. I didn't have time to listen to it again, and I shared my testimony, and it was like I just kind of fumbled my way through it. It was just, I tried all this stuff in my life, and I was still unhappy, but but Jesus, and he filled me up, but you got to know if you're going to stand before God, and you're going to be guilty, and you need Jesus to save you from hell. And I just kind of mushed it all together, and I just kind of drove home, thinking, oh God, I can't do that again until I figure this out. And I called the number on the back of the CD, because I didn't know how else to get a hold of them. expecting that I'd actually get to talk to him. I'm not, you know, for sure, right comfort. He had this great accent. He'd be off in Scotland somewhere, or preaching the gospel in the Sudan, or something like that. And this guy hopped on the phone. How are you? Right? And hey, Ray, my name's Rick Cameron. I don't know if you've ever heard of me, but it's on Growing Pains, a TV show. And, oh yeah. And hey, Sue, who's Kirk Cameron? I ordered some stuff. I wanted to get some books and stuff, and so Ray sent some DVDs and a book called a book that I saw in the box. It was called God Has a Wonderful Plan for Your Life, and it was a cover of a picture of Stephen being stoned to death.
So you guys
call him back and say, can I meet you for lunch? He graciously accepted the invitation. I met him down at a restaurant called the Olive Garden, and I was expecting to meet this giant hero of a theologian, and instead, there was standing before me this little lunatic. Passing out, fast, super fast talking, Kiwi, restaurant, runs up to the maitre d'. Now you gotta remember, I'm still kind of cool, introverted, wear the sunglasses and the baseball hat with the brim just over my eyes, celebrity, not wanting to be recognized, okay? And that was just my MO for a lot of years. Ray walks in there and completely blows my cover. And he walks up to the maitre d' and he pulls out of his wallet these little magic tricks and, hey, which one is bigger, the pink or the blue? This is your ID? With his head all stretched out. Bozo. I want to hide behind the planet and just leave. You know, he's drawing attention to himself and I want to diffuse the attention. Right? And so I'm walking 10 paces behind him, but he gets all of the waiters gathered around him. And then he starts handing out these little pieces of paper. I didn't know what they were. $1 million bills and pink and blue curved things. And then they take us to our seat, and as we're going this way, Ray makes a detour and goes that way. And he's walking around, like, between all the tables. Hey, how's the food? You like the food? Here you go. Here's the tip. Hey, did you get one of these? How many want the funniest one-liners? And he's handing out all these things. What was he doing? And then it dawned on me what they were. These were those gospel papers. He was one of those guys. Weirdo. Oh, what have I gotten myself into? He's probably out on the corner with a sandwich board, too, on the weekend. Yelling at people. He comes and sits there, and we get into this 3-hour conversation. And I had a lot of questions for him because, man, he was sure going against the grain, ruffling a lot of feathers with what he was saying. Because if he was right, it meant that the church had serious problems with its gospel presentation. And we talked and talked and talked. I didn't have an end to my questions. And I was hooked. It made sense. We went back to the ministry. I hung out for another hour or two and helped him pack boxes on a UPS truck. And I eventually became so convinced that this was true that I just said, I am on this and I'm not getting off of it. I am all over this. Like white on rice, like ranchito. I'm gonna stick my teeth in this and not let go until everybody I can get a hold of hears this message. And I started sending out the book and sending out the CDs, and it was frustrating. I said, Ray, why can't we get this message to the church? He says, join the club. Join the club frustration. This is tough. I've been trying for 25 years. And we had some amazing things end up happening. Ray, you going to tell the story about TBN and all that? You tell it. It's so much better when you tell it. With that great little accent you have. You got something else to talk about? All right. Well, basically what happened was, I went on TBN to promote Left Behind. That was the only reason I wanted to go on to TBN, was to promote a movie that we had done. And they called back later and said, we'd like to interview you again about something. And I said, okay, that's fine. And then they called back, and they called Ray and said, Ray, the host got sick. So would you ask if Kirk would be willing to host 2 hours of the Praise the Lord program on TBN? And Ray's laughing to himself, thinking, Kirk could never do that. He would never go and host 2 hours of Praise the Lord program. I know how Kirk feels. He's very sensitive about that kind of thing. And he came back and asked me, and I thought, no way, I'm not going to host Praise the Lord program for 2 hours. I'm not a host. I'm not a TBN guy. That's not my thing. And I thought, wait a minute. What if they'll let me preach Hell's Best Kept Secret on TBN? If they'll let me do that, we got a deal. So he, thinking to himself, TBN? Let Kirk preach Hell's Best Kept Secret on that network? No way, that's never going to happen. So he goes back and he tells them, well, Kirk says he'll do it if you let him have this time, maybe 45 minutes to give a word to the viewers. And they said to Ray, sure. sure, we'll give him all the time he wants. In fact, we'll give him an extra 20 minutes to give him a little elbow room. And so he came back and said, they'll do it. I said, okay, great. So we went on TBN, I hosted the program, and I got to interview Ray all about his book and then preach How the Best Kept Secret. And that night, their ratings went through the roof. Our website got over 1 million hits, pulled the server and a bunch of other websites down. Because we told them, you know, we weren't prepared for the response. They let us go back on and do some more, and they wanted me to host more programs. And we said to them, you know what? What we'd like to do instead is give you some television programs based on this message. And so we started producing these videos called Health Talk, The Way of the Master. And as Easy told you earlier, it just took off. Because people are realizing what we realize, that this is the beautiful, original, authentic gospel of Jesus Christ. And the church is hungry for it. I just think most of them never heard it. Presented biblically. You know? And I won't take up much more time, but I just want to say that before Hell's Best Kept Secret, I was like a closet Christian. I kind of was like a turtle with my head in its shell. And I wasn't really ready to stick my neck out, because deep down inside, I never felt really equipped to be able to go head-to-head with people. And through Hell's Best Kept Secret, and learning how to speak to the conscience, I learned I don't have to be an expert apologist. I don't have to be, have a degree in church history. I don't have to be able to know all of the intricacies of every cult out there. All I need to know is the God of the universe. And if I can explain the gospel biblically, that is enough to get a person soundly saved. Amen. And I've done things I never thought I would do. I recently had a chance to actually sit down and talk with Larry King from CNN. And we were on the program with the Castle Growing Pains because it came out on DVD. I kind of cornered him just outside of the bathroom after the show. And said, I kind of grabbed him by his purple suspenders and said, Larry, I really like your show. You have such good questions for these religious panels you have on there. You know, John MacArthur and Father McHowdy Doody. That silly grin on his face. This whole panel of religious leaders. And I said, you got great questions. You're always asking what happens when you die. And a lot of your guests tend to kind of dance around the answers because they don't want to be offensive to their listeners and be too exclusive in the way that you get to heaven. I said, Larry, if you just give me 10 minutes, I'm sure I could clear the whole thing up for you. And he said, call me at 4:30 tomorrow. I said, okay. So I called him the next day at 4:30, and I'm thinking, I don't want to witness to Larry King over the phone. I've got to do this in person. How can I convince him to let me into his office? I had a plan. I called him up. Hey, it's me, it's Kirk, I'm calling you at 4:30. He says, Kirk, no joke, he says, Kirk, would you like to come talk to me in my office? Yeah. He said, come on over Monday at 4:30. Okay, I'll be there. You know, 11th floor. Just tell him you're coming up to see me. Okay, got it. So, I showed up there at 4:30 on Monday, nervous as could be. Walk into the office building, they say go down the hall, make a left, I go down there, there's a door there, I ring the doorbell, and like another door on the side pops open, like a secret door. And I go inside there, I'm in this glass lobby, so everybody can see who came into the lobby, you know, no secrets. And there's pictures of Larry King on the wall with presidents of the United States, and, you know, Paul McCartney, and these Colin Powell, and what am I doing here? What does he want with a little ex-teen idol guy talking to him about the afterlife? I mean, what am I going to say that he hasn't already heard from these experts? But I had the thought in the back of my mind that he's probably never been witnessed to biblically. He's probably never had the law pressed upon his conscience. Because nobody will do it. Because they probably don't know how. And there he was behind the glass wall, sitting in someone else's office in his purple suspenders on a red couch, watching CNN on the TV. And he motioned for me. I came in, he gave me a piece of cheesecake, he put his hands behind his head, he leaned back and he said, "So, what can Kirk Cameron do for me?" I thought, this is my chance. And we talked for 60 minutes about the existence of God, how you can know that he exists, and what's going to happen to you when you die. And I walked him through the good person test. I got to walk him through everything, answer all of his difficult questions. And this is a professional question asker. You know? I mean, he's trained. And you know the encouraging news? All of his best questions, it was the same old stuff. It was nothing new. If God made everything, who made God? If there's a God, then he's unfair. Look at Katrina. Look at 911. What about those poor people? How do you know God really exists? The Bible's been changed. It's all the same old stuff. There's nothing new. There's about 10 questions. You get the answers to those. That's it. And then you swing to the conscience. We had an incredible talk. Unfortunately, it felt to me that although Larry asks great questions, it seemed to me that he was not in the place where he was really seeking for the answers. It was more always learning and gaining knowledge, but never coming to a real understanding of the truth. And so we continue to pray and praise the Lord for opportunities to share the gospel with people.
Amen.
So the 32nd is here. We're right in the script. We're almost done with Jehovah's Witness episode. We're moving into spiritual battle and Islam and Mormonism, and we're very excited about it. The radio show is just going nuts, and I am more committed to this than I ever have been before, and more excited about these projects than I am about Growing Pains and Left Behind Put Together. And I just want to ask you that if you have caught fire with this, that you will keep running with it and tell other people about it and invest yourself in this, because this is something that's really going to account for eternity. And I think that we're very privileged to be able to do this. You have a question?
Kind of. Out of those 500, 400 people, I don't know. If you want to pray for Larry King, let's all agree to a current prayer that God would save him and be a testimony to the whole world.
All right, let's do it. Lord, we don't mean to esteem one human being above any others. There is no greater value to the soul of Larry King, I don't believe, than the soul of the man that nobody sees doing the lowliest job in the dark somewhere. Jesus came and died on the cross because you love the whole world. And we pray for Larry King, for every single person that we have the opportunity to share the gospel with, that you would empower our words to pierce their heart. And we thank you for the privilege of being used by you. We love you, Lord. We pray that this brings you glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to hand the microphone back to Ray Comfort. And please give Ray a round of applause. Just let him know how much you appreciate him.
Yeah.